Food, film, and music. Some of our greatest loves in life. Welcome to Seems to Me with your co-hosts, Sibeline Sariano and Steve Ricardo.
Hey, hey.
Hi, hi.
Oh, come on. You didn't say ho, ho.
Okay.
Because you're the ho.
Ho, ho. Okay.
You're so much more of a ho than I am.
I'm not denying my ho-ness. I just wanted to change it up a little.
But I just found out, ladies and gentlemen, that Steve's an ass man. Are you an ass man?
How could you have just found that out and we've known each other for over 20 years?
I mean, you always compliment my ass, but I didn't realize that was your thing.
So is it ruder to compliment the ass over the breasts? I mean, I don't understand.
Well, no, actually. I mean, if you were like, your tits look great today, that would be a little bit more outrageous than complimenting a woman on her ass.
I just want to point out that I like the entire package.
Okay? Yeah. You don't neglect any part of the woman.
No parts. Eyes, mouth, body.
I always like to ask whether or not. Yeah, okay, good. The brain squeezed
brain's
in there.
Brain's very important. I like
in number three
women.
Slot.
I have to have it. She has to have intelligence, otherwise.
I will say, as I've gotten into the single world and, you know, guys bring up these little factors of things, and I'm like, yeah, they call it the sapios. Well, what's the whole term? There's a term about, you know, the fact that you're interested in somebody's brain over, I got to look it up. But in any case, there's a whole saying that you need to know. That you like, that you're attracted to somebody's intelligence to be sexually attracted to them.
And I believe that. I also heard scent has a lot to do with it, too. There's this weird scent that you pick up from another person. And if you like their scent, then you like them.
And that's why cologne is so important.
Yeah,
and
but you're not
going
to get me to wear cologne.
Well, you should. I mean, listen, I had this gorgeous plumber come over to my new house that I'm trying to fix things on.
This is where it turns into a porn scene.
He was married, unfortunately. Otherwise, it might have. But he didn't smell good. Oh. And that is just a turnoff. He smelled like a man that didn't shower and, you know, just put on the same clothes he had on yesterday.
He's probably worried about his clientele, you know, hitting on him and stuff.
Usually, I'm working with a lot of Portuguese gentlemen in the rehab of Beverly, and usually the Portuguese man smells delicious. They all smell fabulous. They wear lots of incredible cologne. Actually, I was at an event this weekend. I helped host and manage and oversee a 70th birthday party in Cambridge. And everybody kept coming up and complimenting about how we did on the event and how great it was. And everybody was like, what's your business name? I'm like, oh my God, this is it. This catalyst of it just all happened. So now Events by Sibeline has just been born.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And all these people want me to help them host their holiday parties at their houses in Cambridge and Brookline and Wayland and this and that. And so
maybe I'll have a Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico podcast. For people that don't know, that's my other podcast, event party, like a Christmas party.
Oh my
Blowing
God.
Smoke with Twisted Rico Christmas party. And you can be my event manager.
You absolutely should. Would that be down in the New Alliance spot?
Yeah, we could have bands and everything. Mm-hmm. I got to talk to them about it. Oh, we didn't even tell anyone where we are. We're plugging another studio.
I was just going to say, we are in Salem
at
in
Galaxy
October.
Park Recording Studios, the great studio of the Richard Marr, who this, I believe, is his third room, I think. He was Alston, Watertown, here. Fourth, actually, because I think he was in two locations in Alston.
Hopefully our sound is as
it's
good
beautiful.
As
beautiful. Probably
could
better
ever
than
get.
Ever.
It sounds fabulous to us.
Yeah. But it's interesting, you know, I drove an hour and a half to come up here to Salem, Massachusetts. But you know what? It's worth it. Except unless it's October.
Yeah, we're
which
gonna,
we forgot
we might have to skip
that it is
weeks.
October, and everyone and their brothers here from all over America to see witches and warlocks and go to haunted houses and stuff.
That's
you know?
The fun part of Salem.
Sure is.
Except it always cracks me up when I drive by the bunghole. Did you notice the bunghole?
Yes.
I mean, what is that?
It's a liquor store. Why they call it the bunghole.
I mean, where did that come from? I'm dying to know.
I named it.
Oh, God. So I have, I wanted to tell you about my weekend. So I ended up hosting this, helping to manage and host this 70th birthday party, as I mentioned, and the, you know, evolution of Cibolline, Events by Cibolline kind of happened, which will be my third time as an entrepreneur. But I also was offered a job at the Manchester Yacht Club this past week.
Well, excuse me.
I know, Manchester Yacht Club. But it's
Manchester by the sea.
It is. Wow. It is. It's so beautiful there.
For you people listening in, you know, other states and other countries, it's on the North Shore of Boston.
Yeah.
The whole shoreline, by the way, all the way up to Maine.
It's and even exquisite.
Including Maine. Can I just tell you, I was telling my nephew who lives in Atlanta that I've always wanted to end up in Southern California because I love it so much.
We've talked about
New
that
England's
many
so great, though, you know?
Oh,
because you can go anywhere and it only take a couple hours or less to get anywhere around this state.
Well, it's
Northampton,
beautiful.
Portsmouth, Portland, you know, Salem. You know, Ogunquit, you know, mm-hmm. New Hampshire, you know, those.
Queechee.
I already said Portsmouth, mm-hmm. but, you know, mm-hmm. other parts of New Hampshire, you know.
I love Portland, Maine, too. Portland is just such
great
a hot
town
spot.
On the water.
Yeah. So just to circle back, I wanted to finish saying that. So I got a part-time offer it's an offer for a job, but it's more part-time. So I'm going to be able to focus on our podcast more.
Yay!
I'm going to be able to focus on my dad's art more and try to hopefully get this documentary wrapped up. And I'm in between two houses right now. I'm trying to finish getting my house on the market. I'm trying to rehab the Beverly house. And I am all of a sudden a general contractor. I am like the GC for these
wow.
two houses. And I got to tell you, it's killing me. It's absolutely killing me. I've learned more about houses, which is awesome, but I don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? And I mean, I've done lots of elbow grease in houses, but it's a lot. It is a lot to be between two houses right now. So I'm hanging on by a thread on that level. But anyway, did you have anything fun this weekend?
Well, I recorded on Saturday down in Somerville, and I just basically, it was kind of yesterday I didn't do anything, which was a Sunday.
Neither did
I watched
I.
football. The Celtics had their first preseason game, you know, so I just relaxed, smoked weed, and just relaxed all day, basically.
I got up at like 10, which is late for me. I went and made my coffee and like got back in bed. I just couldn't motivate. I couldn't move. After working 8 hours on my feet nonstop,
Are you staying in your new house now or your old house?
No, we haven't even gotten the goddamn house on the market yet.
Prince stayed for that, right?
Hey, well, if that's what you're getting out in the Midwest of Massachusetts.
No, I'm not leaving New England now. Forget it. I mean, if I can't get a place in Southern California, I'm staying here.
No, you stay
definitely
here
not
until
going
you
to
go
Florida.
To Southern California. I know. I feel sad for Florida. I have friends that live in Sarasota, and I still haven't heard from them.
Yeah, I know someone that just bought a house in Fort Myers, but I haven't been able to find them either.
God.
So, I mean, I hope they're okay.
You saw some of those pictures. Like, there's
horrible.
Just
horrible.
Flat line. I mean, just flattened out.
These storms are just going to get worse. If they keep rebuilding there, they're idiots. I don't know why they would rebuild in a place like that.
My mom has been preaching this to me since I was knee-high to a grasshopper.
Yep.
Like, you know, the water level's rising and, you know, global warming is not a myth.
Crazy things are happening in the world.
Yep. So I'm going to start off today in episode 22. We are in 2020. In episode 22, I'm going to talk about fall fashion trends.
We're in
2020? Did I say 2020?
Yeah, we're in 2022.
Please,
I don't ever want to go back to 2020 ever.
No.
I just want to forget that year that ever happened. Let's just forget 2020.
Oh, God, please. I'm done. I'm already forgetting it, except I got a divorce in 2020. So
that's what I mean. There's a lot of things we want to forget about 2020.
Ugh, the worst. So fall fashion trends, Steve. I think one of the big things that I wanted to chat about today leading into fall fashion trends is just how important clothing is in our lives and the moments you remember in life about what you were wearing. Like, if somebody says, oh, do you remember this event? I'm like, oh, what was I wearing? Then I remember it. And, you know, like I
don't think men do that as much as women do.
Of course, of course. But if you care about what you dress like, a man will remember those things, I think. But like you said, you get up and you're like, what rock and roll t-shirt do I put on today with
exactly.
my jeans, right?
I have a Paul McCartney shirt on today.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And I got dressed for fall today. I am wearing my Fry boots, which I just bought off of Poshmark, actually. Somebody
they don't look very fried.
What? Fried. They do look fried. They totally look fried. And I love that somebody else wore them in, and now I just own a pair of Fry boots that are worn in. I have my little ultra suede moto jacket with my kind of oversized cowl neck sweater and black corduroys, and I'm feeling very folly.
And our listeners are just waiting for the YouTube video to come out now.
Well, we will be doing that soon enough. We'll hopefully get us back on. I just didn't love the fact that we're looking at ourselves on Zoom, even though we, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like I never want to look at another Zoom video in my life.
So that's going to be our only Zoom video, episode 21.
Hopefully we just can get a video going.
Well, I think we
here.
Had to do that because we had no choice because we couldn't get to the studio.
Right.
We couldn't get to any studio.
It's going
to
hit the airwaves. I will say that one of the things I get super excited about is getting dressed for work, getting dressed. I mean, I think most women would say that fall wardrobe is their favorite season. I was digging through my stuff last night trying to plan out my outfit today because I knew it was going to be in the 50s and summer and all that stuff needs to be packed away now. I do have a whole thing that happens when I do my switchover of my wardrobe. So that's a big deal. You know, just take time to put away spring and summer and bring out fall and winter. And I wanted to just talk about, there is a mental health disorder called body dysmorphia that I did notice a lot in the years of, you know, retail. And it's I don't think sometimes people know they have it. I remember having like a size 2 woman come in to get dressed, and she saw herself as a size 12. I mean, she really thought she was bigger than she was. And then other women who were beautifully curvy and fabulous and voluptuous at size 12s, 14s, and they thought they just looked horrible and were even bigger than that. And so, you know, as I admit, and, you know, we talked about the last episode about how we both kind of tend to binge eat when we get emotionally involved in food. And I think, you know, there is just so much around how you dress and how you feel in your clothing and how it can trigger things, you know, can trigger that emotional welfare of your brain and that sort of thing. So, I just wanted to tip my hat to people who suffer from that because it's a thing, and I've seen it real live and in person. And I loved the one episode where you talked about, you know, it doesn't matter what a woman's size is to you, all women are beautiful. And I think a lot of women look at themselves and compare themselves to the skinnier ladies if they're bigger. Maybe the skinnier ladies compare themselves to the, you know, more fit and muscular ladies or, you know, curvy ladies, and they don't have those curves and they wish they did. And so, you know, it's a constant battle, I think, for women, and especially that we're compared to, you know, we generally compare ourselves to everybody else.
Plus, I think men are really responsible for making women feel weird about themselves. The minute you bring up weight and things like that with a woman, it's not a good place to go. Mm. Really don't need to go there.
Yeah, no,
it's... Did you hear that, all you guys out there?
Yeah, it is. It's intense. I mean, I will say the last two big relationships in my life, they never really ever commented about my size or my weight. And that was, you know, thank God.
That's
right?
A beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm tough enough on myself. You know, we all are. So fall fashion trends and fall fashion, just fashion in general, I'd say the biggest thing that I would recommend to both men and women is to really look at your closet as a percentage here. You know, 80% of your closet should be really good basics. And 20% of your closet should be trendy pieces that, you know, come into the seasons each year. But, you know, things that don't go out of style. I have always loved this whole motorcycle, leather, punk rock look, and it's back.
Yeah, I love it.
It's back. It doesn't go out of style to me. I mean, a leather motorcycle jacket should be something that every person has in their closet and stays there forever. It comes and goes according to the fashion trends. But again, I've never really followed fashion trends in my own personal style.
You create your own fashion trends.
I would like to think so. Yes, thank you.
Because you're a famous fashion designer.
I love that he always plugs this for me.
And I like that I'm always the one that sneaks in that you got a great education at Syracuse University.
Hey, okay. I'm going to give a shout out to a dear friend of mine, Melissa Hoganisi, we call her. Hoganowitz. Melissa Hogan Albanese. She always listens to our show.
Oh.
And it makes me so happy to know that this one dear, dear, dear friend of mine is always going to listen. It just warms my heart.
What's her first name?
Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Say thank you.
Thank you, Melissa, for supporting us. We love you.
She is.
Are you single?
No, she's not. Get out of there.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, back to fashion. Moto leather, punk rock, rock and roll, leather. That is a big, huge trend. Whether it's faux leather that you're into, real leather, it is showing up on the scene in oversized motorcycle jackets, not these fitted ones that we all love. And I will, you'll never catch me in an oversized motorcycle jacket, but I appreciate the look. I know that it's a thing right now, but I'm going to always have something a bit more fitted and, you know, follows my curves as a size 12 woman. And leather pants, baby. They're
back. I love leather pants.
I have never gotten rid of my leather pants. I've had pants since the 90s.
I don't think I've ever seen you in your leather pants.
No, you haven't. You'd probably remember that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I would.
Yeah, no.
I certainly would.
I don't think I could fit in my leather pants that I've saved since the 90s. But I used to wear leather pants back in 1996 in New York City. 96, 97, 98, there was a big trend around leather pants then. But what I would say now, you're going to catch me in leather, faux leather leggings. Like that's kind of more where
Ooh,
it's
that
realistic.
Sounds interesting.
I have a pair of white creamy ones. I have a pair of black ones and I need to add some more into my wardrobe. But cognac color is back and it's big right now and it's gorgeous. I love the autumnal colors. So cognac, cream, nude, like a beige color, a dark chocolate brown. These are what we're seeing in the leathers, whether it's a leather trench coat, whether it's a leather dress. There's a lot of leather dresses happening, mini skirts in leather, leather leggings, pants. And, of course, this moto. So you're just going to see a ton of leather. And if that excites you, Steve?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, you're going to be
I'm
excited.
Down with it. Faux I would prefer over the regular leather because, you know, I'm an animal activist myself.
Right,
so.
Of course. And so if you prefer faux leather, I would say best
faux
brands.
Show.
Faux show, faux leather. If you appreciate your faux, which I do too. I mean, like I said, I do have leather in my closet.
I'm not going to hold that against you.
And
I have a leather belt on, unfortunately.
Yeah, this is what we do.
Yeah.
Lise leggings. Spanx also does an incredible faux leather legging. And H&M and Zara are going to be your like hot spots right now this season for anything fashion and any of these trends. They're all going to have it. Fast fashion hits the runways and then they turn around and make it and happen in, you know, 6 weeks in the stores. So neutral shades, autumnal shades in the leathers. Skinny, wide, or even straight leg is what you are actually seeing on these trends in the leather pants. I think it all depends on your body shape, your curves, and if you prefer to be in skinny high-waisted things like I do, then that's your jam. If you like the wide leg pant, then go for a wide leg pant and faux leather or leather. Like I said, the leather moto jacket, oversized. I'm going to always be in my fitted jackets. But again, brands, that are fabulous in this department. Blank NYC is something you can get at Nordstrom's. Big, big fan of their jackets. I also find them sometimes at Marshall's and TJ Maxx. Express always, always has a great faux leather moto or any sort of kind of tailored jackets. It's kind of one of my go-to places. Also a big fan of White House Black Market, ladies. Anybody in this, in the listener group, if you are a curvy woman, White House Black Market will work for you in what you need to dress.
So if I want to meet curvy women, I should go hang out there?
Yes, okay. You definitely should. Oh, Steve, we found you a new...
What's the name of the place again?
White House Black Market.
I'll have to listen to this episode every time I'm looking for one of those places.
Oh my God, you're so funny. You might like this trend, Steve. Number three on the list is knit dresses versus silk dresses. Hmm. We're talking like the silk slips that you used to wear underneath dresses are really popular this year.
Wow.
Like silk. True
silk.
I like silk. I'll tell you what, not everybody can wear silk, and especially not a fitted silk dress. I would have to have like a full, what are they called? Those things that you wear, scuba dive. I'd have to have like a scuba diving outfit underneath my silk dress just to flatten out the bumps and the lumps.
Okay, that didn't sound very attractive at
all.
Why
would
you?
Just joking.
We didn't need that visual. You don't have any lumps and bumps. What are you talking about, anyways?
Anyway, you're not going to catch me in this trend. But anyway, silk slip dresses versus the knit dress. I will be in the knit dress. I love this look. It's the St. John's. St. John's would be like the upper end echelon of the brands, but I'm sure H&M and Zara and all those guys are and
plugging everybody today.
I know. Well, these are my favorite go-to fashion brands. It's the knit dress that's long, paired with a long matching knit jacket or a long sweater cardigan. Really love that look. You can pair it with a big wide belt or a skinny belt at the waist, plus some fabulous boots. Mini skirt versus the midi skirt. The midi skirt, which comes down to your mid-calf. There's this like old schoolgirl look right now happening.
I like the schoolgirl look.
Mm-hmm. So
all,
you like
all versions of it.
I bet you do. You just like anything.
Long as they're above
women.
The schoolgirl age.
So it's the mini in leather versus the midi skirt. I saw it in plaids. I've seen it in the leather, in the cognac color. Very cool for certain people. I probably wouldn't wear the midi. I would wear a maxi and I would wear a mini. And I would wear a mini skirt with leather leggings and an oversized chunky sweater. That's kind of how I generally will throw on a little
mini skirt. Okay, next week, that's how you're coming here dressed.
I'll rock my leather leggings
for you. I need to see it
to
understand it better.
Okay. You got it, Steve. Just for you, baby. Just for you. Boots. This is when we love fall because we get to pull out the boots. Chunky, fry, cowboy, you name it. Wear your boots. They're talking about over-the-knee boots, which to me are more about the bedroom. Right, Steve? Not that I
wasn't thinking about that, but now I am.
Not that I necessarily have over-the-knee boots for my bedroom.
Over-the-knee boots for the bedroom.
I'll have to get a pair of those.
Hmm.
I'll just have to find the man that will buy
me
those.
Very interesting.
Yeah, wear that with some lingerie.
Yeah, baby.
Get it going on. Then plaid. I think I mentioned plaid,
I like
sequins,
plaid.
And fur. Those are all going to be big, big, big this fall. Fur, faux fur on vests, faux fur little swing jackets. I have a faux leopard jacket that I wear every year and it has never gone out of style. So I'm not a sequins girl, but I know I have lots of friends that are. And that is the wrap for me on fall fashion trends. So what'd you think?
Lovely. I loved all of it.
You like it?
I did.
You can't wait to see all these girls. I mean, unfortunately, you're not going to see the little, crochet bralette slash bikini tops anymore.
Unless they go to California.
Now that we've gone into fall. All right. So what are you doing, Steve, for your mental health?
What am I doing for my mental health?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, I remember a few episodes back we were talking about meds, and I've decided not to go in that direction at all. Mm. I have an emergency med that I go to if I need it, but I'm pretty much going natural. I didn't tell you about this. You could be a little surprised. I've been microdosing mushrooms lately, and I ran that by my shrink, and she thought it was a great idea. Even though they're not legal here yet in Massachusetts, they are legal in other states. They come in chocolate bars, and I just take a little bit at a time, and it stabilizes my mood and helps me from getting depressed or too high up.
When did you start that?
I did it 3 or 4 days in a row last week, and it worked really well.
I'm hearing that this is a huge trend right now.
It's good.
Whatever.
Because I'm not going to take the meds. You know, I don't want to do it. And the other thing is functional medicine. I think we may have talked about it a little bit last week. And that comes down to what you eat. Keeping a lot of carbs out of your diet, which is very difficult.
Sugar.
I'm going back to, like, I was on sourdough for a while, and I'm back on the gluten-free bread again because I was having some issues.
Do you feel better now?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Gluten-free bread is definitely where I'm going to stay. Gluten-free everything. You know?
Yeah, that's when I cheat and I eat gluten, I just feel like dog do the next day.
How's your mental health?
Thanks for asking. Well, I was thinking about it. I've been processing the fact that I admitted last week that I pretty much have recognized that I binge eat, and not proud of it, kind of embarrassed by the fact that I even have that issue. But it's a real live thing.
For a lot of people. And you know, it doesn't mean that you're like, you have to be this big overweight person. I admit I binge eat too. Neither one of us are like.
No, the fact that you said that to me on our podcast made me open up to you.
Well, it could have to do with marijuana too, because when I get the munchies at night, sometimes I just want to keep going.
If I smoked
going.
Every night, I would be 300 pounds because, like, I would munch away.
And I think you're the one that said you go from salt to sweets, and that happens to me too. You know,
I have to go back and forth.
I like muffins.
I do it with ice cream and salt and vinegar potato chips.
I'm trying to find alternative things to eat at night. Like, I got these gluten-free waffles, so I had a gluten-free waffle with peanut butter on it.
Okay.
That's a much healthier option.
That's a much healthier option than a pint of pistachio gelato.
Yeah.
I took down last week.
I haven't gone down that road yet, but
oh no,
I could eat a bag of chips in record time,
I can take down the whole goddamn big bag. I mean, forget it. It's a thing. I last night I stayed in my bedroom and I didn't snack. If I get on that couch and I turn on the TV, that's when I have the cravings.
Good for you.
I have to stay away from the couch in front of the TV.
Let me tell you this one thing I've learned from us doing this show and talking about mental health. There is a lot of people out there that have problems, whether they're mental or physical. Mm-hmm. And if we can help them at all by sharing our situations with them, I think we're doing a good thing. Because there's a lot of people that have approached me and said, you know, I'm depressed too, man. I have anxiety too. It's a rough time we're living in right now in this world. There's all kinds of crazy shit going on. So
I would try the microdosing mushrooms. I've thought about it. I've been hearing and reading a lot about it.
I have the connection. Just let me know.
I mean, I'm still on my antidepressant, which actually I left in my car, and then I had my car work done. So I'm on like day 3 or 4 now of having not taken it. And I was just a vegetable yesterday. Absolutely a vegetable. I think more so because I was exhausted. And I never take like a day to just do nothing. I never do nothing. And I did nothing yesterday. And guess what? I feel rebooted today. I feel great. I listened to a lot of just mental health podcasts, videos. So what I do for my mental health outside of, when I eat better, I feel better. When I'm on my antidepressant. But I'd like to potentially get off of it. And if it meant microdosing, I would consider that. But I have found
pills are not good. They're just not.
I know. I just don't. I don't know. I Why?
They like alcohol. Hey, listen, take it from me. You know, I'm pretty much an alcoholic. I don't drink anymore. But when I drank, I would just... That would cure everything until you wake up the next day and you feel like shit, you know? Mm. And then you have to hurry up and wait until it's time to start drinking again the next night or whatever. People have all these different habits with alcohol and drugs, you know? Mm. I don't want to go down those roads anymore. I would rather find clean alternative ways to keep my mental health
Alcohol's poison.
Intact.
Period. I mean, I poured myself a tiny little glass of wine last night with dinner. I made some killer chicken wings and some white rice, and I poured this half a glass of wine, and I didn't enjoy a sip of it. Like, I didn't enjoy it. But the night before, when I was on this job, they had this incredible sangria, and it was, you know, it was appropriate. I never drink on the job, but it was appropriate because it was a connection, personal connection for this party. So I had a glass of the sangria, and it was incredible. And then I had another one. And then we went out afterwards because we were starving, and we went to the Abbey, by the way, in Cambridge.
And then I woke up the next day and some strange dude was in my bed.
I wish. That didn't happen. No. No, but I ended up having a Paloma at the bar, and I think that is part of why I felt like garbage yesterday, because I had three drinks and I don't even do that anymore.
I don't miss
really.
Drinking. Mm-hmm. Well, I do, but I don't. I don't want to.
You miss it for your social anxiety.
I do. I'd love to have like an IPA down at Notch Brewery right down the street here in Salem today, but I'm not going to, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I have found this guy named Jim Rohn, and I'm a big, big fan of him. I just found him on YouTube, and there's some incredible videos that that he does about just... I will find out the name of the video that I found recently. I sent it to you to listen to. I don't know if you listened to him, but
only a little, but I am going to revisit.
Yeah, he just has such incredible. So if you check out on YouTube Jim Rohn, he's like, it's my new Bible, I think. Wayne Dyer, Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Yeah, I've read many of his books.
He's just incredible. But I've really actually been trying to focus on meditation. I can't say I do it every day, but Deepak Chopra and Oprah have collaborated on this 21-day meditation series that they do for a lot of different things. The one I'm listening to right now is about hope and about how fear creates, you know, such bad things for us. I mean, that it just... can paralyze so many people.
Yeah.
And I think you overthink things and then you get fearful of something because you've thought about all the things that could go wrong before it even goes wrong, right? Like my daughter does the same thing. So meditation is supposed to be just one of the best things that we could do for our brains.
I've been hearing that over and over again. Meditation and yoga, those are the two things.
And I was just going to say exercise, walking, and yoga are my other like go-to. I exercise twice a week religiously. If I can, I haven't been walking lately, but man, do I need a good long walk because I always listen to like positive affirmation stuff.
Well, it's too bad you have to bolt so quickly today. Otherwise, we could go for a walk through Salem, which I'm probably going to do by myself.
I know. Well, depending on what time we end, but I guess I won't be able to today. Next time, I promise.
Yes.
Because I would love to do that. But lastly, Jay Shetty and Jordan Peterson are both two other guys that I've been listening to. Jay Shetty. Think Like a Monk is one of his books. He's just this lovely, amazing soul. And he's young, but he's wise beyond his years. Positive affirmations, believing in the universe, putting things out to the universe. And, you know, I think people refer to it as the source energy or higher power, but that's my God. And it's, you know, it's just the way I've put a lot of things out into the universe, and last night I did some more, and I love the way
you're constantly exploring ways to improve your mental health, by the way. You're inspiring me.
Aww.
I try to do it, but I don't do it as much as you do, but I need to. Definitely.
I will say, I think that when you go through the loss that I've gone through in the last 4 years, you do have to look in the mirror and say, what can I do better about myself? Well, how can I make myself better? You know, obviously, I wasn't the perfect fit for someone, and I want to be better the next go around, you know, and he wasn't the best fit for me either. And there's lots of work that needs to be done there, but I can't just point the finger, right?
Right.
I have to look in the mirror too.
Yeah, we all do. We all need to look at ourselves and not blame other people. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Absolutely.
I agree.
100%. So I'll do a quick shout out to some food. Casablanca. There's this place called Casablanca that is in Revere that has...
Give me a beer. I'm from Revere.
Good
I had
Lord.
To do that.
Good Lord. What? Did you pack your car and have it?
Yeah,
too?
You know, did you know packing? The Mass accents is that they don't, the traditional Boston accent's going away, I heard.
But when I hear it, I'm like, oh.
But if you're in Revere, it's a different story.
Well, Revere is not where they all live anymore. Revere is where the Portuguese community has come in and taken over.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ruin your Casablanca
yeah,
intro.
Thanks. Yeah, you threw me for a loop there. Casablanca, it is a Moroccan
wow,
dessert
really?
Spot.
What?
Yeah. Yes, this dear friend of mine has introduced it to me. And I love all things almond. Almond, marzipan, any sort. This guy makes all the desserts himself.
Mm.
They're exquisite. You have to
check
it out.
Don't give me that address.
I know. I don't even have the address for you, but
good. I don't want
it's
it.
Casablanca and Revere. That's all I know. But he keeps bringing home these desserts, and I can't stop eating them. It's not good because like it's not help. I definitely borderline binged ate these desserts. But and then this woman who hosted that I helped host her 70th birthday party on Saturday, she got all these incredible. Charcuterie cheese platters from Fromaggio in Cambridge.
Oh yeah, I know that place. Place is awesome.
These platters were gorgeous. And they labeled all the cheeses and they labeled all the charcuterie. They had nuts, they had some figs and things like that and thing. They had these beautiful pieces of cut French baguettes.
Mm.
They do a great job with catering.
You're making me
too.
Hungry. Hurry
I know,
up.
I'm starving. So that's my little plug for two little spots that we've never talked about. And I'm going to pass the mic to you, and we're going to talk about music.
Well, I'm going to just stick to one topic here, which mm-hmm. is really big in the world, the Taylor Hawkins tribute concerts. There was one in the UK and one in LA in the last couple of weeks. Taylor, as many of you people may or may not know, was 50 years old when he passed away.
Overdose.
Yeah, unfortunately. He was most famous for being Alanis Morissette's touring drummer, then, of course, the drummer of the Foo Fighters. He was really loved by so many people, and we're finding out now.
Apparently, because he was just super upbeat
and
happy.
Really good guy.
Right?
At the UK concert, Queen, Rush, members of the Pretenders, Led Zeppelin, Kesha, did I say her name right? The Police, Jane's Addiction, Wolfgang Van Halen were all there. And I watched a bunch of highlights from it. I haven't watched the full concert yet, but the UK one looked great. The LA one, though, they took to another level. It was a 53-song list for the show, 53
wow.
songs. As Queen and Rush came back, Def Leppard, Miley Cyrus, Pink, I know you love Pink, Joan Jett, members of Soundgarden, Black Sabbath, the James Gang. Some of the highlights that you're going to love and you're going to want to go look at that I wanted to tell you about.
Mm-hmm.
Miley Cyrus doing Photograph with Def Leppard mm-hmm. and Pat Wilson from Weezer on drums. Let me tell you something. Miley Cyrus is definitely one of the best artists out there in the world. I mean, I know she gets a lot of credit, but I don't think she gets enough.
What?
You're shaking your head.
I'm
I
like
think
blown
she's
away
amazing.
By you saying this
I
to me
I think
right
she's
now.
Amazing. She can rock out with the best of them. And I've heard her do country and pop. And
Jolene.
She doesn't get enough credit.
All right.
And,
all right.
But this part of the show, two parts of the show that you're going to love is Pink. First, she did Somebody to Love with Queen. That's a hard
wow.
song to sing.
Yeah.
And she also did Barracuda with Nancy Wilson. The Foo Fighters, of course, were out there for most of this. Backing
okay, so they're playing
up.
Behind
they
the
had guest
scenes.
Drummers. A lot of guest drummers were there. There was another highlight with Taylor Momsen and the guys from Kim Thayil, Matt Cameron from Soundgarden, along with Dave Grohl, one of your favorites, and Chris from, I just said that because I don't know why, but you don't love Dave Grohl. Maybe you'll explain that to me mm-hmm. in a second. They did Black Hole Sun. That was great.
Love that song.
And Alanis Morissette was there, and she did You Ought to Know with the Foo Fighters. It was broadcast on Paramount TV, but I saw mostly clips on YouTube.
So tell me, what spoke to you the most? Just the sheer love. And come-togetherness that people did for him?
I mean, I thought the Freddie Mercury tribute concert and the George Harrison tribute concert of all I've ever seen were two of the best, but they really took it to another level. You got to really appreciate the fact that the Foo Fighters were...
Well, they've hit a lot of people. I mean, I don't know why I don't like them. I just don't. I don't like their music. He annoys the fuck out of me, Dave Grohl. I don't know. He just does. And yet... people think so highly of him.
I think it's the personalities that they just loved about the band. They're just good guys.
Yeah,
you know?
And that goes a long way. I mean, I don't think Prince got a tribute like this.
No,
I don't think David Bowie got a tribute like this. I mean, that says a lot about
Taylor Hawkins.
It takes
a lot to put one of these things together.
Absolutely.
And to get all of the people I just mentioned, that I didn't even mention a lot of other people that were there. There were so many. Paul McCartney was in England. You know, I mean, there was bigger people I can't even remember. There's so many. You got to see the whole concert.
Do you think that it was truly they wanted to pay their respects to him, or that people just wanted to be back on the scene because we've missed so much music in the last couple of years?
Taylor's son actually sat in with the Foo Fighters and played drums in both shows. So the family, I think they were such a closely knit family. No one saw this coming, this death. There's been a lot of shocking deaths too, you know, Chris Cornell, you know, there's been a shocking death. The older people, when they die, you expect
talent
it.
Talent that we've lost.
Yeah.
Horrible. I mean, even Michael Hutchins, like, loved him.
In excess.
You know, and I just, I mean, it's painful. But, I mean, Tom Petty, I mean, these are all, like, addicts, ultimately, that overdosed.
Yeah, it's just
You
horrible.
Were saying that he had, like, how many drugs in his system, too?
A lot. I didn't really want to spend too much time talking about that part of it.
But that part goes back to our mental health piece, is, like, nobody would have thought that he was... I mean, obviously they went through a huge drug scene back in the day, but if you're still doing that much and you're a family guy and everybody loves you, like, what was going on?
A lot of this happens on the road. It happened with Cornell on the road. You get on the road and you end up in a hotel room, and I guess you lose your mind if you're in a hotel room every night and on a tour bus or a tour plane or whatever.
Something to look out for these guys,
It's sad. It's sad. This was a real sad one, but I'm happy that they did these tribute shows. And I think, I don't know all the details of where all the money's going, but I think it was probably going to really good organizations.
Oh, okay.
I feel like they're like that.
It was
none of them needed the money. Okay. No one needs the money.
Wow.
You know?
Well, so and as far as the songs that were sung, were they predominantly just the lyrics that meant something for this, or
it was just great seeing, you know, Roger Taylor and Brian May from Queen with Pink singing Somebody to Love and the Foo Fighters up there backing them all up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was brilliant. I thought it was brilliant. Pink really was good.
And what did Miley sing?
She sang Photograph with Def Leppard. Her and Joe Elliott sang it together, and she rocked it.
Mm.
And I've seen her jam with Billy Idol, Joan Jett. Can go up there and play with anybody.
She can hold her own.
I mean, what I said about her, I don't think she gets enough respect. I think a lot of people just think she's just a joke, you know, because of her sexy outfits and all that. But hey, Madonna did that too. You know, she's no joke. You know.
Oh God, Madonna.
Lady Gaga. You know, I'm not. I mean, maybe Miley's.
Lady Gaga, Madonna, they all push the
envelope. I'm not saying Miley's, you know, in the same league as Madonna and Lady Gaga.
Well,
but
you just did, because you said she's one of the best singers in the whole wide world.
Right now. One of the best performers.
Okay.
Performers.
Okay, we're just slipping in that
performers.
Right now. That was what
the
I was.
The greatest singer I ever heard was Freddie Mercury, okay?
Yeah.
And Liza Minnelli.
Well, another person that we wanted to, you know, pay tribute to today was also in the world of film. And I just forgot, but remembered last night, somehow it came up as I was doing my research, that we lost Ray Liotta this year.
Yeah, he was a good one.
Goodfellas, Copland, Narc.
I'm glad you mentioned Copland. I love that film. He was excellent. Something Wild, which is the movie got his big break in, was he was fantastic in that. Oh, you got to go to Melanie Griffin. It's like a classic, man. You got to go back to that.
I found him to be incredibly handsome. He those eyes, his eyes just like I felt like he undressed you with his eyeballs, you know.
Apparently he was not a scary guy in real life. He was a really nice guy.
Yeah,
came across as being scary.
Yeah, well, he played cops and robbers basically through his whole career, right? He played some of the toughest
he was
bad
a good
guys.
Bad guy.
Yeah, he was a great bad guy. But, you know, I mean, gosh, I mean, Goodfellas.
Jeff Daniels, he was in Something Wild, too. I couldn't remember what I just looked it up. It was Jeff Daniels, Melanie Griffin, and Ray Liotta. It's a really great film. I highly recommend it.
I'll have to check it out because I love all things Ray Liotta. And, you know,
1986.
Yeah, that was his breakout, you said. 1986, that was a good year. You were doing lots of craziness in 1986.
Yes, I was. I was in California, Los Angeles.
I was a ripe old age, 12 years old, discovering that Prince made me think that women were sexy. That's what happened to me at 12.
Wow. Thank you, Prince, for bringing that out in Sibley.
It's like, we have power.
I think you got a bolt, so let me just give the email address and stuff.
I have to go to my chiropractor in Davis Square called Davis Square Chiropractic, and without his services...
I could use a chiropractor
today,
man.
I swear by my chiropractor. So that's where I'm going after this, and it is much, much needed for me today.
And you gave him a nice plug, too.
I did, Dave.
If you want to write us, seamscssr@gmail.com.
Do we ever get anything...
Yeah, we do. We get a lot of emails. I just don't let you read them.
What?
Patreon.com/seems to me. And we have an Instagram page @seems to me Sib Steve, which Steve runs, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
You do all the back end.
Don't worry. I'm not keeping any emails from you, I promise.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, have we ever gotten an email?
It's just Syracuse is writing me about the money that you owe from when you were there. Just kidding.
Dude, when I went to Syracuse, it was $26,000 a year.
That's
scary.
It is
like three times that
now.
Yeah,
it's $96,000 now.
Something like that. And I went there for $8,000 because I had all sorts of work studies and scholarships and all that good stuff. So thank you very much to working hard in high school and getting into a goddamn great school. So that's my plug for good old Syracuse.
Good old Orange, man.
But I sure hope my daughter doesn't want to go there because I can't afford it. All right. Well, it's been real, as always.
Absolutely.
Love you, dude.
Love you, too.
All right.
See ya.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening. So feel it in your soul. Take a